Good to see everyone here this morning. Welcome to Calvary Bible Baptist Church. We want to welcome our visitors visiting with us here from Texas. And we want to welcome them. And it's good to have a place where we can come on Sunday morning and fellowship one with another, sing the praises that we've sung this morning, and enjoy the preaching of God's Word and being around other Christians of like faith. Amen. Turn in your Bible this morning to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Let's start reading in verse number 25. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 25. Ephesians 4, 25. Wherefore, put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this time, Lord, where, we can gather together, Lord, in this place to, not only worship you, Lord, and bless you, but also, Lord, to open your word and receive instruction from your word this morning. Lord, we pray, God, that the message this morning, Lord, I ask that you would speak through me. I ask that you would fill me, Lord. I know, Lord, that I am nothing, Lord, and Lord, I can do nothing without you, Lord. I don't even want to try, Lord, to preach on my own in my flesh, Lord. I need you. I need your help, Lord. I need your filling, Lord. And at this time, Lord, in this place, Lord, God, I pray that, Lord, the words that are spoken would not be my words, Lord, but may your Holy Spirit speak through me. And, Lord, I pray, God, that you would bless those who have come this morning, Lord. Lord, I pray, God, that they would leave full. And, Lord, may everything that's said and done bring honor and glory to you. We pray, Lord, for anybody here this morning who's not saved, who does not know Christ as their Savior, who doesn't have that peace and that hope in their hearts, Lord, that we have heard testified about and talked about this morning in the singing and in the testimony time. Lord, I just pray, God, that you would, convict that person of their need for salvation, Lord, and draw them to Christ, Lord, as only you can. And, Lord, I pray for the Hugo family now, Lord, mourning the loss of a relative, Lord, of a friend, of a close family member. Lord, I pray that you'd be with them, Lord, and give us as, Lord, believers opportunity, Lord, to witness to this family, to be a testimony to them, to be an encouragement to them. And, Lord, comfort them in this their time of sorrow and this their time of, disappointment and tragedy. And, Lord, I pray, God, as believers in this community, God, that you would help us to be witnesses for you, to shine as lights, Lord, in this world, God, for you. There are those out there in this community, Lord, who need you. They may not know they need you, but they do need you, Lord. And you have sent us, Lord, to into this town, into the places that we work, to be a witness and a testimony for Christ. Lord, help us to do so. And, Lord, bless the word as it's preached this morning. Speak to our hearts now today. We give this time to you, Lord. May you have your will and way. In your name we pray. Amen. Last Sunday we studied briefly God's command in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, for us as believers to be filled with the Spirit. We talked about our relationship with the Spirit and what our relationship with the Spirit should be, and we discussed the importance of having the right attitude towards the Spirit's leading in our hearts. We studied what it means to be filled with the Spirit and how to be filled with the Spirit. And we know that being filled with the Spirit has nothing whatsoever to do with speaking in tongues or laughing hysterically or howling like a dog like we see on the TV and in some of these charismatic churches and whatnot. But according to the Bible, living a Spirit-filled life means that the believer is 100% totally committed and 100% surrendered and submitted to the will of God and is living in a constant attitude of submission to God in their life. That's what being filled with the Spirit means. If we are not living totally committed, constantly submitted lives, then we are not filled with the Spirit. And if we are not living in the Spirit, if we're not walking in the Spirit, we are living in disobedience to God's Word. That's what we talked about last week. It's the command there in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, be filled with the Spirit is not a suggestion. It's not an option for us. And surrendering our lives to Christ, I mean, that's the first thing that we must do. We must surrender our lives to Him. We must submit ourselves in obedience to God's will for our lives and to following God's Word and God's plan. And those are the things that we need to be doing if we want God to fill us with His Spirit. This morning we're going to look at some things, some attitudes to avoid in our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Amen. If there are some things that we can be doing every day to help us walk in the Spirit, to help us live Spirit-filled lives, then there are also some things that we need to avoid. There are some things that we need not to be doing. There are some things that might hinder us and keep us from walking in the Spirit. We're going to talk about some things this morning, that some attitudes that we need to avoid, some things that might hinder our walk in the Spirit as Christians. We need to learn to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit in our lives. The Bible says in verse 30 of our text this morning, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Not only does God want us to be filled with the Holy Spirit, but He wants us to be sensitive to His Spirit's leading in our lives. A Spirit-filled Christian is going to be sensitive to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. A Christian who is filled with the Spirit will be listening for that still small voice speaking to their heart and will respond to the wooing of the Holy Spirit in a positive way. The Holy Spirit is a real person, just like God the Father. Just like God the Son, the Holy Spirit is a real person. The Holy Spirit acts and wills and loves and feels, and the Holy Spirit may be grieved or insulted, and we need not to do that. We need not to harden our hearts. When we ignore the convicting power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we are hindering God from working in our hearts, and we are also hindering Him from moving and working in the hearts of others. And we're not to do that. We're not to grieve the Holy Spirit. God wants us to submit and to yield to the Spirit. Now, that's easier said than done. Because as believers, we have that constant battle going on inside of us between the Spirit and the flesh. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 17, the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit lusteth against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. God warns us that our flesh, our feelings, our egos, our emotions, our lusts are contrary to the Spirit. Know this, Christian. If you have a desire to please God, if you want to live a Spirit-filled life, your flesh is going to fight you every step of the way. There's a war going on inside of us. The flesh is fighting against the Spirit, trying to get its own way, and the Spirit is fighting against the flesh for control of our lives. And the one we feed the most is the one who's going to come out on top. The one we feed the most is the one who's going to win out. If we feed the flesh is going to dominate the Spirit. If we feed the Spirit is going to dominate the flesh. The Bible says if you feed your flesh, if you sow to the flesh, you'll have the flesh reap corruption. When we feed the flesh, when we give in to our fleshly desires, we are grieving the Holy Spirit of God and His influence in our lives. We're grieving Him, and His influence over our lives is further lessened the more we give in to our fleshly appetites, the more we satisfy those fleshly desires. The Holy Spirit's power in our lives, the Holy Spirit's influence is grieved and lessened. Let me show you some attitudes to avoid in our relationship to the Holy Spirit this morning, and then I'll be done. First of all, we should never resist the Holy Spirit. We should never resist the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 7, as Stephen was preaching to a crowd of unconverted Jews, he rebuked them for resisting the Holy Spirit of God. He said in verse 51, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye." He said, listen, you guys, you're resisting the Holy Spirit. You're not being willing to accept the gospel. You're not being willing to receive the truth. You're resisting the Holy Spirit. The men whom Stephen was speaking to in that instance were guilty of resisting the Holy Spirit of God. Their hearts were so hard and callous towards the Holy Spirit that when the gospel was presented to them, when the truth was brought to their attention, when the way of life was exposed to them, was made known to them, they rejected it. They would not receive it because they resisted the Holy Spirit. Now, you may be here this morning, and the reason you've never been filled with the Spirit is because you've never been saved by the grace of God. If the Holy Spirit is convicting you this morning of your sin and of your need for a Savior, please do not resist the Holy Spirit. The Bible says ye must be born again. Come to Christ today and get that matter settled once and for all. But please do not resist the Holy Spirit of God. It's a dangerous thing to resist the Holy Spirit of God in the area of salvation. No one here this morning is guaranteed that we're going to make it back next Sunday. You may not get another chance to receive Christ as your Savior. The time to be saved is now. The Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We should never resist the Holy Spirit. Amen? We should never quench the Holy Spirit. We should never quench the Holy Spirit. Say, isn't that the same as resisting it? No, it's not the same. Say, how do you know it's not the same? Well, because it's spelled different. We should never quench the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 19, quench not the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. The word quench in the context of that verse means to check or to stifle. God doesn't want us to stifle or smother the Holy Spirit. God does not want us to suffocate the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is so sensitive and so easily grieved that it doesn't take very much for Him to be quenched. Just a little pride, just a little sin, just a little rebellion, just a little stubbornness is all it takes to quench the Holy Spirit of God when He's trying to move. At the close of this message, when the invitation is given for those needing to be saved and for those needing to get right to come forward, if you're not careful, Christian, you could quench the Holy Spirit of God and hinder Him from moving in this place. Now, I'm an old-fashioned preacher, and I still believe in an old-fashioned altar call. I believe the invitation time is the most important time of a preaching service. And I believe every Christian who's not at the altar praying and doing business with God ought to be in an attitude of prayer during those moments. That is an important time during a preaching service. Shame on us for quenching the Spirit of God during that time. Shame on us for not being sensitive to the Holy Spirit and His leading. You know, I can count on one hand those who have been down to this altar since I've been preaching here. I've been here almost 3 years now. And in those 3 years, I can count on one hand those of you who have come down to this altar to pray. For whatever reason, I don't know. But those of you who have been sensitive to the Holy Spirit and have responded to that invitation time, I can count on one hand, those who have come down. Maybe I'm wrong, maybe I'm miscounting, but you know what? 3 years. You mean to tell me that in 3 years, almost 3 years, God hasn't spoken to your heart one time and told you, you know what, the Holy Spirit hasn't convicted you and told you to come down, come forward, get some things right? When the Holy Spirit convicts us, when He puts His finger on something in our life that's not right and we don't respond to His prompting, we are being a hindrance to Him. When we hear that still, small voice telling us to go forward and we say, no, I'm not moving, we are quenching the Holy Spirit. There's no reason why the front of this church shouldn't be full every Sunday morning. There should be people down here praying every Sunday morning. Now, I know I'm not the greatest preacher in the world. I know that. I'm well aware of that. I'm well aware of my inadequacy to preach the Word of God. But I love you people, and I pray for most of you every day. And I love this church, and I love this old black book. And I try to be faithful to preach the truth to you every week. And when the Holy Spirit of God, through the message, pricks your heart and you, instead of responding, you just stand there and say, no, that doesn't apply to me, or no, I'll get right later. I'll take care of that problem later. You're quenching the Holy Spirit of God. You're quenching the Spirit. Please don't harden your heart. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Don't hinder the Spirit. Don't quench the Spirit of God. Back on December 7th, 1941, two U.S. soldiers were manning a small radar station on a small island in Hawaii. And one soldier said to the other soldier, hey, look at all those dots on the radar screen. I've never seen that many dots before. And the other soldier said, oh, that's just our planes. That's normal. They're just doing their flying thing. Come on, let's get back to the card game. And so they ignored those dots on that radar screen. And because they ignored the warning sign on that radar screen, thousands, hundreds of people died. Hundreds and thousands of people died that day at Pearl Harbor. And listen, if this morning there's some dots showing up on your spiritual radar, don't just blow it off, amen? The Holy Spirit is trying to get your attention. Don't resist Him. You better listen. You better respond accordingly. I heard a story about some college students who were trying to sneak their college mascot into their dorm room. And one of the boys was a little concerned that they were going to get caught and they were going to get into trouble. And he said, hey guys, what about the smell? And one of the other boys said, well, he'll just have to get used to it. He'll just have to get used to it. You know, that's the same attitude a lot of Christians have towards the Holy Spirit of God, towards the Holy Spirit's conviction in their lives. They have the attitude, well, he's just going to have to get used to it because I'm not changing. I know, Lord, there's some things in my life that ain't right. I know, Lord, there's some things in my life that you're not happy about, but you're just going to have to get used to the smell. We have to understand that the Holy Spirit is easily grieved by our attitudes and our actions, and as Christians, we need to learn to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God. Let's face it, the average Christian today is not living a Spirit-filled, Spirit-led, Spirit-sensitive life. The average church today is full of carnal, worldly Christians who are living in the flesh and not walking according to the Spirit. And that's not God's will. It's God's will that we be filled with His Spirit. It's God's will that we walk in the Spirit. See, God is still holy. He hasn't lowered His standards any. They're still high, and it's still God's will that we live pure and holy lives, the power of His Holy Spirit indwelling us. And that's not going to happen unless we are willing to submit and to yield ourselves to Him. God doesn't want us to resist the Holy Spirit. God doesn't want us to quench the Holy Spirit. He wants us to yield to His Spirit's prompting in our lives. God wants us to be sensitive to His Spirit. There's a couple areas in our lives where God would have us to be sensitive and yielded to the Spirit. God wants us to be sensitive to the Spirit in the area of witnessing. Jesus in Acts chapter 1 told the apostles, "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Jesus knew that His disciples, His followers, could not be the witnesses that they needed to be without the power of the Holy Spirit living and working through their lives. Jesus told the disciples that He was going to give them the Holy Spirit so that they could be effective witnesses for Him. And if we're going to be effective witnesses for Christ here in this town, we need to be Spirit-filled. We need to be Spirit-led. We need to be Spirit-sensitive Christians. Because if we're not yielded, if we're not careful to live Spirit-filled lives, if we're not careful to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading when it comes to being a witness for Him, our spiritual testimony, our witness for Christ is going to be greatly diminished. A Christian who is totally yielded to God and who is living a Spirit-filled life is going to have a powerful testimony, is going to be a tremendous witness for Christ. God wants us to be sensitive to the Spirit in the area of witnessing. God wants us to be sensitive to His Spirit when it comes to His Word. The Holy Spirit's job is to guide the believer into all truth. That's one of the Holy Spirit's tasks, is to guide the believer into all truth. Jesus told His disciples, when I'm gone, the Holy Spirit is going to come and He is going to explain to you, He is going to help you understand the words that I have spoken unto you. The Holy Spirit helps us to understand this book. The Holy Spirit helps us to understand His Word. And if we're not sensitive to Him, if we're not paying attention, if we're not listening for His still small voice, we're going to miss something that God's trying to teach us. God wants us to be sensitive to the Spirit when it comes to His Word. And God wants us to be sensitive to His Spirit when it comes to our Christian walk. I'm talking about our lifestyle, our conduct. When was the last time you prayed and said, Lord, Holy Spirit, I need Your help. I need You to show me what to do. I need Your guidance in this situation. I need Your help in making the right decision. I need Your help in making the right decision. Is this Your will for my life? Is this Your will for my life? Should I go here? Should I go there? When was the last time you asked the Lord's direction, asked the Holy Spirit to direct you and guide you in your walk? When was the last time you prayed and said, Holy Spirit, is this activity okay with You? Is what I'm doing, is those I'm hanging around, is what I'm listening to, is what I'm watching on TV, is this okay with You? Because I don't want to grieve You. And if what I'm doing is grieving You, Lord, then I'm going to stop it. We need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. God wants us to be sensitive to His Spirit's leading when it comes to our Christian walk. Are we being sensitive to the Spirit? The Apostle Paul said in Galatians chapter 2 and in verse 20, he said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And you know, if you're a Christian here this morning, if that's your testimony here today, this morning, you're a Christian, you're a believer in Christ, and you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, you're a Christian, you have God's Holy Spirit indwelling you. Christ lives in you through the person of the Holy Spirit. But is Christ living His life through you? Is He living His life through you? Do those around you see Jesus Christ living His life through you? The only way Christ can live His life through us is by our being filled with His Spirit. The way to be filled with the Spirit is by being yielded to Him and sensitive to Him. So those who continually resist and quench and grieve the Holy Spirit can never be filled with the Spirit of God, can never walk in the Spirit as God would have them to do. God cannot work through us until He's allowed to work in us first. If we want to know God's power, if we're ever going to see God move, if we want God to meet with us, we must not grieve His Spirit. I would rather see this church closed down and turned into a buffet than to go on and continue preaching here knowing that God's Holy Spirit is being grieved. God does not want His Holy Spirit to be grieved in this place. The Holy Spirit ought to have freedom to move. The Holy Spirit ought to have freedom to work in this congregation, in this place. We better take seriously God's command for us to be filled with the Spirit. Some of us right now need to stop grieving the Holy Spirit and head for this altar and ask God to cleanse us and fill us. Maybe there's someone here this morning who has been resisting the Holy Spirit in the area of salvation. If that's your case, if that's your situation, I invite you to come and be saved. Don't resist His Holy Spirit. Come and be saved. Be born again. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. We're going to have a song of invitation. Invitation is open. Please remain with your heads bowed and your eyes closed until we conclude this part of the service. As I said before, I believe this is the most important time of a preaching service. If God's Holy Spirit has spoken to your heart this morning, if God's Holy Spirit has put His finger on something in your life today and said, you need to get that right, don't just say, you're going to have to get used to it. You're just going to have to put up with the smell. Don't have that kind of an attitude. That will quench the Holy Spirit of God working in this place. Respond accordingly. So God, if You'd come and lead us in a song of invitation. I'm going to be down here at the altar. If you need to pray with me, you just want to pray by yourself, maybe some of you husbands need to grab your wife's hand and come forward and pray. I don't know. Whatever God is leading you to do, I pray that you'd respond. I pray that you'd come. Whether it's for salvation, whether it's for forgiveness, cleansing, or God's filling in your life. Why don't you come? Scott?
6:57. Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free. I praise thee, Lord, for cleansing me from sin. Fulfill thy word and make me pure within. Fill me with fire where once I burned with shame. Grant me desire to magnify thy name. Lord, take my life and make it wholly thine. Fill thy poor heart with thy great love divine. Take all my will, my passion, self, and pride. I now surrender, Lord, in me abide. O Holy Ghost, revival comes from thee. Send a revival, start the